We're going to be talking today about the Akedas Yitzchak, one of the most remarkable and mysterious events that ever took place. You know, after reading all the Mepharshim, it's hard to understand exactly what was the test. I mean, thousands of Jews, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Jews throughout history, have had to give up husbands, wives, children, parents. It's hard to understand exactly, and this is the greatest of the Nisyonos, the greatest of the tests of Avraham Avinu. And the ability of any Jewish person everywhere, any time, to give up something for the sake of Hashem, comes to us from the Akedah. It says in the Svarim that the ability of any Jew to give up something, so any Jew to die al Kiddush Hashem, to die for the sake of Hashem, which unfortunately has happened many, many times, the ability to do that comes from the Akedas Yitzchak. So we have to try to understand what was so astounding about this test, and in what way does it provide us, thousands of years later, with this capacity, Kiddush Hashem. So we're going to learn two pieces. The first piece we're going to learn very quickly, it's much easier. And we're going to learn it very quickly. The first piece is from the Sefer Avodas Yisrael. The Avodas Yisrael is from the Kodesh Samagit. I'm sure many of you have heard about the Kodesh Samagit. You've heard stories about him. Maybe saw from Kozhnitz, one of the great students of the Mizritcha Magid, from the earlier generations of the students of the Baal Shem Tov. So, if you look on where it says Vayikra Avram Shema Makom Ahu Hashem Hashem Yireh, and Avram Avinu called the place, Avram Avinu named the place of the Akedah. This is after he already had brought Yitzchak for the Akedah, and after the Malach told him not to kill Yitzchak, so he names the place Hashem Yireh. Hashem Yireh. V'targim Yerushalmi, Perish Atahu Dechami V'loy Mischami. So in the Targum Yerushalmi, the translation of the name of this place of Hashem Yireh is Atahu Dechami V'loy Mischami. That means Hashem, you are the one who sees, but you cannot be seen. That's what he names the place. Now that place is an important place because that's the site of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, of the Beis HaMikdash, right? The future Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on the place where Avraham Avinu brought Yitzchak. And the name of the city, Yerushalayim, is connected to this, of course. But Hashem Yireh. So the Targum says, Atu Dechamil Meschami, Hashem, you see, Yireh. You see, but you cannot be seen. So what does that mean? Hashem, you see, but you cannot be seen. Of course Hashem sees, and of course he can't be seen. And Avraham Avinu names that mountain, which is going to be the place of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem Yireh. So he says, Dvar v'tzrichin biyu. We have to understand, that the Maggid says, we have to understand the deeper meaning of this, that Hashem sees, but is not seen. V'nirli dihine b'shas anisoyin. Now this piece from the Kodesh HaMagid is so that we'll be able to understand the second piece from the Holy Rebbe of Mordechai Yosef from Ishbitzer, the Me'ah Shiloh. She says, V'nirli dihine b'shas anisoy. Now every one of us has been through different tests. At this very moment, all of you are going through a test. The test is whether or not to focus and to concentrate, or whether or not to. I mean, every minute of life is a test. The question is, are you going to want to grasp this opportunity to learn something from Hashem's Torah, or are you going to opt for the, you know, daydreaming and fantasizing? And I'm not saying that by way of criticism. I'm saying that by way of illustrating something that you and I all know, that every moment of life we're being tested. So he says, "Dihine b'shasin yisoyin." There are easier tests, there are more difficult tests. So he says, "Dihine b'shasin yisoyin." Shemanasa kadosh baruch hu es adam edover. The Maggid says that what makes these tests in life most difficult is that at the moment that you're being tested, Hashem conceals His holiness from you. It's not clear to you. If at this moment, if at the moment of the test, let's say you had some opportunity to cheat in business, you know, and the guy that you're dealing with, Asaf, the guy that you're following, and the guy that you're dealing with wouldn't catch you. You know, he sees. I mean, he doesn't know what you're doing. You can get away with it. You'd be able to get away with it. So if at that moment, when that light bulb lights up in your brain, you know that I can get an extra $1,000 out of this, and I'll never get caught. If at that moment, Hashem's existence and Hashem's presence would be clearly felt by you, would be revealed to you, would be known to you, right? So it wouldn't be a shaila. I mean, you would never take the $1,000. Wouldn't be a shaila, even though no one can catch you because the one above is watching. He's there. So it wouldn't be a test. If Hashem's... I mean, move the yarmulke's back. That's not... has to cover the corner of the head. If at the time of the test we would have that clarity, it would be clear to us, so then it wouldn't be a test. It's not in this side. It's not in this side. The test means that Hashem's greatness is not absolutely clear to you. And you have to strengthen your free choice despite the fact that things are not so clear to you to make the right choice. She says, "Mestam b'zuah rega kivyochol mastik kedushas u'memait hasagas ha'odem ashahoyla mikedem." So the Maggid says that even, let's say you were a person that you were on a level where it was clear to you that Hashem would be very upset with you for stealing the $1,000, and you had that clarity, and you were on that level, but at the time that Hashem has chosen to test you, that clarity is being removed from you. It's taken away. It's no longer clear to you that Hashem is watching, that Hashem cares, that Hashem is involved. It becomes ambiguous. Ki lulei ha'odem yeh borov etzolu b'shas nisayin ki mikadem lahayin nisayin nechshav l'klum. The test wouldn't be a test if that person's awareness of Hashem would be the way that it was before, then the test wouldn't be meaningful. There's nothing overly impressive about the fact that if you know that there's a great king, a great and awesome king who's sitting in the room watching you, that you're not going to do anything to rebel against the king. If you're sitting in the room with the king, and there's the greatest king of the world, and he's sitting in the same room, and there's just the two of you, what are you going to stick out your tongue? So let's say you have a mishagas that all of your life you wanted to stick out your tongue at the king. It's a mishagas. You have this in your head, and during when you've walked throughout the kingdom over the years of your life, from time to time you've been tested. You know, you felt this desire to do something that would be disgraceful to the king. And at different times, as you were walking through those places during different times of your life, you did in fact speak to a friend and say, the king's an idiot. Or you might have, you know, had in your basement somewhere a dartboard with the king's picture on it or something. But when you're sitting in the room with the king, and he's staring at you in the face, you have no yetzahara to. It's not a nisayin. He's a gewaldige guy. He didn't insult the king. He didn't stick out his tongue to the king. Who would do such a thing in the presence of the king? Therefore, you understand that Omnam, he says, Inyan ha-nisoyin shemistalek bihirus ha-odam. The Inyan of a nisoyin, the Inyan of a test, is that Hashem removes that clarity. Because in truth, every single moment of our lives, we're sitting with the king in the room. Every single moment. That's not a nisoin. It's not a test. So Hashem removes that feeling that the king is sitting with you in the room. He removes that feeling. V'arehu bol yidei nisoin, and that is the test of a person. V'koyve shiitzro be'emunoso, and you must conquer Yetzirah with your emuna. With your emuna, with your faith. But it's not clear to you. It's not clear to you. All you have is your emuna. You don't have that knowledge. You don't have that awareness. You have simple belief. And you have to strengthen your simple emuna even though it's unclear to you. Even though you don't know what's happening. You have to strengthen your simple emuna that the king is sitting right here in the room with you. Umeschazek loshev lebar, you strengthen yourself to return to Hashem. Also nikra oimed binisayin. That is called passing the test. That's what is meant by passing the test. It is not called passing the test if you're sitting in a room with the king. It's not passing the test. What's passing the test is that the king is thousands of miles away, and you're sitting someplace in a room, and there are no microphones, there's nobody watching or listening. You're there with another friend, and you say, and the friend says, "What do you think of the king?" So then, you can strengthen your emunah in the king, in the kindness and the love of the king. But when you're sitting in the room with him, it's not a nisayon. Ulefi zeh, and according to this, mistama kasher helukim nisos avram bedvar ha'akeda. So mistama. So the Maggid says that when Hashem tested Avraham Avinu with the most difficult of the Nisyonis, with the test of the Akedah, of the binding of Yitzchak to kill his own son, after Hashem told him those words, Kachno es bincha, take your son, see, if Avraham Avinu would have been Avraham Avinu at the time of the Akedah, it wouldn't be a test. Jews that are smaller than Avraham Avinu were able to sacrifice their children. During the Middle Ages, there were thousands upon hundreds of thousands of Jews that killed their own children so that the children wouldn't be taken away by the church. Jews that took their own lives, took their children's lives. What happened here with Avraham Avinu was that Hashem removed all of his madregas. Hashem removed his presence, and Avraham Avinu found himself as the first person in history to be called upon to do such a thing, and not only that, but he no longer had his feeling of clarity. His nevu was no longer, the prophecy was no longer a power that was shining inside of him. He felt simply simple. That's how he felt. The bottom paragraph. This could be the meaning of the pasuk, Vayaras Amokim Yerachok. You know, when he came, when he was approaching the mountain, when he was coming there, so it says, Vayar es amokim yirochi, he saw the place from a distance. He saw the mountain, he saw Har Maria from a distance. So you know the word mokom is one of the terms that's used in Chazal for Hashem. And we say like in the Haggadah, the Pesach, we say, Baruch hamokom baruch hu. Hashem is called Mokom because he's the Mekom Shel Olam, because all of existence, all of the universe is his place. He is the place. Kakash Baruch Nikra Mokom, Shem Mekom Shel Olam. Mirulai Kehilu Mirachov. So when it says in the Pasuk, Vayaris Mokom Mirachov, that Avraham Avinu saw the place from a distance, the deeper meaning of that is that it wasn't that he saw HaMaria, that Hashem was at a distance. The Mokom is a hint for Hashem. That just at that moment he was looking for clarity, when he needed to be strengthened in his heart, when he needed his all the awareness that had been accumulated over a life of searching for Hashem and thinking about Hashem. But now when Hashem told him to kill his son, so his first instinct might have been, no problem. But then as he's walking towards the mountain, everything is gone. All of that clarity and that understanding, that awareness, all of his madregas have left him. Until he reaches a state of Vayaras Amokim Mirochek, he sees Hashem from a distance. L'yochel Avram Avinu Avra L'shorom L'hosik Derech Tvei Kuso K'mo B'shar Pa'amim. And Avram Avinu could not achieve the Dveikus, the attachment that he had with Hashem earlier in his life until this moment of the test. V'l'chein, therefore, Omer El Na'orav Shvulach Ampoyim Achamor. Therefore he told Yishmol and Eliezer to wait here with the donkey. V'doshu Chazal, on top of the next column, Am Im HaDoymer L'chamor. V'ani V'anar Ne'elcha. In other words, Avraham Avinu, according to Chazal, was saying that Yishmol and Eliezer, you wait here. You're not allowed to come with us. You wait here down below. And you are compared, you, Eliezer, and Yishmol, Doymer L'chamor, you are similar to the donkey. Wait here. V'ani V'anar Ne'elcha. And Avraham Avinu says, and I will continue going with the young man, meaning with Yitzchak. Da'ainu. Sh'Avraham Avinu Olav Sholem Ha'i Matmiya Ba'atzma. The deeper meaning of this is that Avraham Avinu was wondering within himself. Madu Asami Olav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why has Hashem left me? Why is it that I don't understand anything? Why is it that I feel like, why is it that it feels to me like I'm just starting to try to be Jew, you know, to be a mom and a believer? So he thinks perhaps it's because of Yishmael and Eliezer, because they're together with me, and because they are not on a high spiritual level. So perhaps it's because Yitzchak and I are, our frequency is being interrupted by the presence of these two people who are not on our level. So Avraham Avinu was wondering, what's wrong with me? Why is it that I don't have this clarity? So he looked and he saw that who was with him, Yishmael and Eliezer. So he thought maybe that's why. Maybe it could be that perhaps because of the presence of these two people and not on this madrega, that's why Hashem is not appearing to me. That's why the Shechina is not present. Because we know that as long as Lot was with Avraham Avinu, so in this week's parasha, that we know that as long, you learned it with Rabbi Freilich? That as long as Lot was with Avraham Avinu, he couldn't experience... What? Yeah. As long as Lot was with Avraham Avinu was not able to experience Nevuah, was not able to experience that exalted level. So Avraham Avinu thought, here it is again. The reason that I'm having this difficulty and I'm not getting a good reception, you know, it's like Lahavdil, you know, when you go to the cellular phone, there's certain places where it doesn't go through, right? So Avraham Avinu was thinking, no, I'm not getting a reception. Nothing is clear to me. And all of a sudden he felt, what am I doing? I have to take my son, I'm going to kill my son, and it wasn't clear to him. So he thought perhaps the reason that he was getting a bad reception was because Yishmael and Eliezer were with him. Just like he couldn't receive Nevuah when he was attached to Lot. So that's why he tells Eliezer and Yishmael, wait here. Don't come any further. V'ani v'nar nelcha ad ko. And I with my son, with the young man, with Yitzchak, we will continue. In order to detach himself from this interference that he felt had entered into his relationship with Hashem. But we know that that's not why he didn't have a good reception. Why didn't he have, David, a clear reception? Why didn't he have? Why not? No. You're also experiencing some... Yes. No, why? Why? You understand, Nelson? Why? That's the test. The test was that was taken from him. So he thinks maybe it's not me. Man. I don't know. Maybe it's Yishmael. Maybe it's these guys. I have to move away from them. So he tells him, stay here. And I will go with Yitzchak. It didn't work. He tried to take away all those things that he felt might be blocking. He still didn't have the clarity. And it says, it's one of the most dramatic moments in the world's history. And the two of them went together. Meaning who? Avram and Yitzchak. The two of them went together. Betmimus. with absolute innocence and simplicity. Lasas v'tzayn koinam, to perform the will of Hashem. Lasas v'tzayn koinam, be'ahava, with love, be'chiba, and affection, be'manosam, with their faith. Because Avraham Avinu saw that it wasn't because of Yishmael and Eliezer. That's not why he wasn't able to have a good reception. So when he walked away, when he left, he was expecting the clarity to descend upon him, and it didn't. And then he understood that what? What did he understand? That there's nothing I could do. It doesn't have to do with anybody else. It doesn't have to do with any interference. Wherever it's coming from, whatever's wrong, I understand absolutely nothing right now. And all I could do is to try to be like a simple schlepper and to have belief in God without any of my understanding, without any of my philosophy in depth, without any of my Kabbalistic, mysterious, deeper understanding, to be a very simple person with emunah, simple faith, and to do what Hashem wants, what He told me to do. You know, there's an extraordinary document that we have from one of the great tzaddikim who lived at the time of the expulsion, of the Inquisition, the expulsion from Spain. Achosid Yaivitz, not Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Achosid Yaivitz was much earlier. Achosid Yaivitz wrote that I was among those who was driven from my homeland, from Spain. I was among those who was driven from the country. And he says, and I testify, the tzaddik, the Chassid Yaivitz testifies, that when the Jews of Spain were being tested by Hashem and were given the choice by the king and the queen, by the church, to either convert or leave Spain later on, in many instances, or to die. So he says, I bear testimony that the great philosophers and thinkers of the Jewish community of Spain, to a large extent, failed in that test. Like the more cultured, deep philosophers failed, but the Noshim, the women, and the Amei Haaretz, and the simple Yidden, the regular Tehillim Zuggers, you know, the guys that say Tehillim, go to shul and then go to work, he says the vast majority of them either died al-Kiddush Hashem or left the country. But from the people who were more sophisticated, the big philosophers, he said, from those, many of them succumbed to it and failed the test. But the simple Jews and the women, he said, the Noshim Va'amei Haaretz, who didn't go to yeshiva, they didn't have yeshivas for women then, who had emunah pshuta, the simple faith, they taka passed the test. Because for them, they were relying upon what they always relied upon. What were they always relying upon, Avram? The women and the simple people? Just simple faith. No chachmas. I don't understand anything. Hashem told me to do it. I'm doing it. That's all. So they were able to pass the test, even to the point of dying, Al-Kiddush Hashem, or leaving everything behind and going. But then there were great thinkers, great professors of Judaism, great philosophers, and many of them failed. Why? Because what were they relying upon, Moshe? What were they relying upon? The philosophers. The chachma. They were relying upon their understanding of God. And on that day, when someone comes to you with a knife and says, either you bow down to the Avodah Zorah, or I'm going to kill you, philosophy doesn't work. Because all of a sudden you forget all the footnotes, you know? You forget the bibliography, you forget the term papers, you forget all the books that you read. And if you don't have underneath all that knowledge, a simple faith in God, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So Avraham Avinu was stripped of all of his philosophy, of all of his great knowledge. And he is, from what's demanded of him, we'll understand this on a deeper level in the Mea Shiloh. What's demanded of him is that he turns within himself to find the simple emunah of a child and of a God-fearing Jewish woman. You understand? That's the Nisai. To opt for emunah. When the philosophy and the understanding was taken away, not to fail, but to return to simple emunah. Just talk this over with your parents tonight. You know, Shabbos 4:35. You know,
this isn't it the earliest Shabbos.
Candle lighting. It's one of the earlier. One of the earliest. Just gonna get a little bit earlier. 4:35 is candle lighting. That's right.
Good. Oh man, wait.
So,
oh, I don't like it.
So you had
18 minutes after Shabbos. Is that
we'll discuss it on a second. So you have quite a beautiful and long Friday night that leaves you time for sleeping, leaves you time for learning, not in that order. Leaves you time for learning, leaves you time to enjoy Shabbos, and to try to get to know your parents, or your brother, your sister a little bit. I mean, I know that could be for many of you a very distasteful thought. To try to overcome those feelings, and I'm sure you could find out a lot of good things. So this is the test. This is the nisayin. So the Rebbe continues and he says, "Ad shenishlam hanisayin, until the nisayin was complete, until the test was finished. Sha'amalai al tishlach yodcha, until the angel told Avraham Avinu, al tishlach yodcha, no, don't harm the child, don't slaughter him." Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, "Now I know that you are God-fearing." And everybody knows that it wasn't for the sake of Hashem finding out. Hashem doesn't need to find out. None of those tests are for Hashem to find out. What are those tests for? For us to find out. For us to know who we are. For us to realize what it is in life we have to change, we have to fix. So Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, "Ati yadaiti ki yirelu kima." Now I know that you are a God-fearing person. Not just a philosopher. The heralik tmurasai ayil ahalis la'ilan. Hashem shows Avraham Avinu an animal, the ayil, the ram, to take up as a carbon instead of Yitzchak. And oz shav Avraham Avinu el v'sholem el madregoso harishayna abihiris v'advekas. Then Avraham Avinu returned to his original level of clarity. V'ayamevin ha'idezeh, and he understood then. After he passed the test, it became clear to him again in the most wondrous way, that Hashem's glory fills the world. And even if a person would hide in the darkest hiding places, there's no way to be concealed from Hashem. Omnam, he understood now. Omnam ela adam nidme ki'ilu chalila ein Kadosh Baruch Hu ro'ehu. Avraham Avinu now understood that the test of life means that feeling that you have, that you could hide from Hashem. That's the test. The test means feeling that Hashem does not see you. Thinking that Hashem does not see you. That Hashem is not aware of what you're doing. That's what the test means. That's why Avraham Avinu names the place Hashem sees. Which means what? The Pirsha Targum, that Chami v'lo Mischami, Hashem, you see but you're not seen. You see but you're not seen. Tahayin l'shenoydu lo atash, Kadosh Baruch Hu roes adam tamid. It became clear to him now that no matter what you're going through, no matter what lack of clarity you have, no matter how unclear things are to you, you have to strengthen your emunah every moment that Hashem is watching you, that the king is sitting in the room. That the king is sitting mamish in the room. That he's there watching you. That's what it means. He is a God that sees, but he is not seen. What's the chiddush? Everybody knows that. Any child knows that God sees, but he's not seen. Because when you're being tested, you don't know that. You don't feel that Hashem is seeing. When you're being tested, it's not clear to you that Hashem is watching. Thank you. It's not clear to you that Hashem is watching. Even though man himself does not feel that clarity, Hashem sees you even though you don't see him. Even at a time in your life when you don't see him, strengthen your emunah that he sees you. Even when you don't see him, you don't have that das, you don't have that clarity, strengthen your emunah that at that very same moment where everything is to you, everything to you is unclear, that Hashem is sitting there in the room watching you. And the mountain was named, the place was named Bahar Hashem here. But on that mountain it became clear that Hashem always sees. Even when you don't feel that he's watching, Hashem is watching. That's the piece of the Koshin Samagit. Now we could turn to the more difficult piece of the Me'ashi Loach, the second page. We did a little while ago, a piece in the Beis Yaakov, the son of the Ishbet, son of Mar Yosef. Ve'elokim nisas Avram. Look where it says, Ve'elokim nisas Avram. And Hashem tested Avram. The Torah says, Ve'elokim nisas Avram. In the nisayin shel ha'akeda, what was the test of the akeda? Hoya gidlaha gidlaha amun shehayil Avram Avinu ba Hashem Yisbarach. The test: how great was Avram Avinu's faith in Hashem? How great was his amuna? Ki av shomalo ko yezaracha. Now listen to the unbelievable conflict that had been presented to Avram Avinu. Hashem had promised Avram Avinu that through Yitzchak he is going to build a great nation and they'll be like the stars of heaven and like the sand of the earth, right? Hashem promised Avram. So here he was promised by Hashem that he's going to have a nation from this child. V'nemelo esbrisi okim es Yitzchak. And Hashem told him, I'm going to fulfill the covenant through Yitzchak. I'm going to raise the nation and fulfill my promise to you through Yitzchak. Not through another child, through Yitzchak. V'achshav kishenem aloi ha'aleyu lo'oilu. Now Hashem tells him to bring him up for a sacrifice. Now Hashem tells him ha'aleyu lo'oilu, to bring him up. Hashem tells him to bring him up as a korban. In kolzos, despite that, Hemin b'dvor harishonim. He believed what Hashem first told him. Now you could ask a kasha. He believed the first thing. He didn't lose his faith. I mean, obviously, we're dealing with an absurdity. It's absolutely absurd. If Hashem says, through this child, I'm going to build an entire nation, that means that he has to live. I mean, he hasn't gotten married or had children. And then Hashem says, I'm going to do that. I promise you. Now Hashem says to kill him. So this verse says that Avraham Avinu didn't lose his faith in the fulfillment of that promise, although it's absolutely absurd. I mean, it's an impossibility. V'zod samuna, this faith, this verse says. Here, I'll leave some space on the about the page. It's not kedai. If you'd be Baal Kari, you'd stand up the next to the Sefer Torah, and you can imagine, go with a magic marker and color in. V'zoyis ha'amuna, ein b'seichel ha'odim l'hasik. This amuna, the human mind cannot comprehend. This type of faith, the human mind cannot comprehend. Now listen to the Rebbe's explanation, listen to what the Me'ashi Loach says, and since we already learned the piece from the Koshes HaMagid, we already learned this piece from Avodas Yisrael, so this we'll be able to understand this in a much deeper way. But it's not easy. V'hine, the Me'ashi Loach writes, V'hine, be'emes lo hoyu la'avram dibu mafurish me'Hashem Yisbaruch she'yishchad es b'no. So this verse says, in truth, Hashem never told Avram Avinu in a clear way to kill his son. Never told him to kill his son, you know that. What did he tell him? He said, take him up. Haleyu la'ola. Raise him up on the Mizbeach. He didn't tell him to kill him. So he never received a dibur mefurish. He never received a clarified, 100% clear statement from Hashem that he's expected to kill his son. Al-kein lo nemar v'Hashem nisa. Therefore, it does not say in this pasuk that the Rebbe is writing about, it does not say V'Hashem Nisa Asavram, Yud Kei Vav Kei. It doesn't say the name of Hashem, V'Hashem Nisa Asavram. It says V'Elokim Nisa Asavram. V'alokim nisa. What's the difference? That it says v'alokim nisa ahainu shahaya elav dover baspeklari yidlo nahara. Let me explain. There are two basic levels of prophecy. There is a level that's called aspeklari hami'ira, when Hashem's words come in a very clear, shining way, and it's compared to the light of the sun. That's when Hashem's message is absolutely clear. That's called aspeklari hami'ira, the light of the sun. That is connected to the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke. When Hashem speaks in that way of Yudke Vavke, then the Nevuah is received by the Navi, by the Prophet, in a way of sunlight that is shining and clear. But when it appears in the name of Elohim, when Hashem's Nevuah is received by the Navi, is transmitted to the Navi with the name Elohim. So Elohim is compared to the light of the moon. The light of the moon is a very dim light. It's very, very soft, very dim. It's not shining strongly. This refers to a Nevuah that is not entirely clear. It means that the Navi, the prophet, would receive a Nevuah that is not entirely clear. Compared to moonlight, not the sunlight. So here it says that Avraham Avinu never received an absolutely clear, he never received a clear commandment to kill his child. He received a nevuah that was enum afurish. It sounds like it means that, halei ola ola, because normally when you bring up an ola by a sacrifice, it means you have to kill it. That's what it sounds like, but it's not clear. It wasn't said in a way that's clear. And with Hashem's Nevuah, you can't say, excuse me? It doesn't work like that. Could you repeat that? Finished. So Avraham Avinu was left with this. Avraham Avinu heard from Hashem, but he heard a dibur that was not mefurish. He heard a message that wasn't explained. Try to focus.
I am.
Try to look like you're focusing.
I am.
So, he received a dibur which is not mefurish. It's unclear. Baspeklari lo nahara. Valzen nemar lakim loshen tekifis. Valzen lo nikra hanisoyin al shem Yitzchak. You ever wonder why is it that even though we call it the Akedat Yitzchak, everybody speaks about how Avraham Avinu passed the test, Avraham Avinu passed the test. What about Yitzchak? How old was Yitzchak Avinu at the time of the Akedat?
37.
He wasn't a child. He was 37 years old. He was a great tzaddik. He was a big navi. So that's pretty good. He knew that he was being taken up to be killed. So how come we make a big deal about Avraham Avinu's test? How come no one seems to give any credit to Yitzchak Avinu? Seems pretty good that he did this. So based upon what the Meir Shilach is saying, what do you think the answer to that is? What do you think the answer is to that question? Why isn't this the test of Yitzchak? Why is it the test of Avraham Avinu?
He relied on Hashem's faith, like.
No, just the opposite. Yitzchak got clear instructions from whom? Not necessarily from his father. It could be, you see, Yitzchak had 100% trust in the Navi, just like we have to trust the Navi. We trust Moshe Rabbeinu 100%. Yitzchak trusted the Nevuah of his father. His father didn't go along and tell him, you know, Yitzchak, I'm worried, I'm nervous, I'm not sure, I got this message, it wasn't clear. Avraham Avinu says to him, Yitzchak, I'm taking you up, this is what God told me to do, to kill you. And Yitzchak Avinu received, therefore, an absolute clear command and instruction from the Navi Hashem, with the understanding that this was received in absolute clarity. Avraham Avinu did not reveal to Yitzchak his doubts. He didn't. So Yitzchak Avinu was not being tested. Why? Because Yitzchak Avinu has the clarity that the Koshen Samagid said that was taken from Avraham. Yitzchak Avinu had the clarity of hearing the Dvar Hashem straight from the Navi, straight from the Navi's mouth. Just like if you or I would hear it straight from the Navi's mouth, we would feel pretty confident. Now, Avraham Avinu was saying it to Yitzhak with great confidence. But inside his own heart, there's this terrible, terrible doubt, right? Hashem's telling him to look, take his son up for an Ola. He doesn't know what that means exactly. It sounds like it means to kill. But it could mean something else.
But
Ha'aleula Ola, the words Ha'aleula Ola in the terminology of Hashem means to bring him up as an Ola.
Yeah.
And an Ola means a sacrifice that's burned completely and taken up completely.
But Avraham understood it then.
He understood it. You have to listen to what the Rebbe says now. This is such a deep opinion. Chaval, we really need more time. Listen carefully. Yitzchak believed that Avram was a Navi, and Avram Avinu told him that Hashem said, I have to kill you. Nope, alright, what am I going to do? Hashem said. The father's a Navi, and his father tells him, Hashem said, again, it's finished. Ve'en in Nisayin kol kach. I mean, it is Nisayin. It is a test, but ain't in Nisayin kol kach. It's not such a great test. But here it comes, listen to this. Rak l'Avram haya nisayin. The test was really a test of Avram Avinu. Lefi shelo haya etzlo hadibur mefurish. Because he didn't have that clarity. He received an unclear message. Vim haya lo shum negiyah ka'av lebein. Now let me explain. I have to explain how a little bit. This is so profound. It's so deep, and we all go through this all the time. The test of Avraham Avinu was in that state when the light was dim, where he had no clear instructions. The test was how would he act in that state of uncertainty. Which is what the Kodesh has said before. How would he act in that state of uncertainty? Now, there was a certain thing that's called a negiyah. Negiyah means... Sweet. You following? Huh? With an oifen eigen? You know what that means? It means with open eyes or with closed eyes. I got worried. I thought maybe you were lost in the spiritual rapture. But it could be you're just sleeping. Trying to get a clear message. I'll give you a clear message across your head. Get a clear message. Now, a negiyah means when there's something that you want, and when you want something, it's amazing how when you want it badly enough, everything seems to fit in with what you want. Let me explain. Imagine the following situation. You come to a certain place, you haven't eaten in 24 hours. And they put in front of you a sizzling, delicious, perfectly done rib steak, barbecued or roasted to perfection. Cameron's already fainting. Right? And however you like it, just listen. Listen. Ah, that's the question. Now, of course you would not eat it, something that's straight. But then someone that you trust pretty much comes along and tells you, whispers in your ear and says, listen, Elad, you know, I know you're a kosher, I know you keep kosher. I want you to know that the butcher that sold this, there's like a 50-50, there's some like real strong questions on it. You know, there's been some problems with him lately. And I don't know what, I mean, I'm just telling you and I have to go, but I just want you to know that it could be a very big problem. So then you're sitting there, the guy leaves, he's not coming back, and it's just you and your beloved. Right? So you're sitting there with this rib steak, and it's getting, every second passes, it's cooling, right? It's getting colder. And then this is how your mind begins to work. This is what a negiyah means. You begin to say to yourself, well, you know, after all, he said that there have been some times that there have been certain problems with the butcher shop. Listen, we all occasionally slip. It might have happened that he got caught, maybe he meant 3 years ago, because you can't get the guy back. You didn't get a dibur mefurish, you didn't get a clear word. And now your heart begins to work, not your brain. You think it's your brain, but it's your heart. Your heart starts to tell you the following. Look, look, the guy, you know that butcher, and he's Shomer Shabbos, and you know, why would a Jew cause another Jew to sin? And anyway, he said it only happens sometimes, so there's a good likelihood that everything was already worked out, and because I noticed that there's still the kashrus thing is on the wall, and you know, whatever it is, you know, Now then you begin to say, and also, you know, really, why would God get upset with me? After all, I bought in a kosher place, so I'm just following the Torah and so on. So you make up all, you know, you go fight with all these explanations, rationalizations, which we call in English, and you rationalize your eating of the steak, which you do with great gusto. So you eat this steak. Now, that's called a negiah. Negiah means when there's something that damages your rational judgment because there's something inside of you that wants something to be a certain way. So it will damage your judgment. One of the most irrational things in the world that a person will do is to buy a lottery ticket. But that's not so irrational because you can give Hashem a place to bless you, right? Why not? But then what's really irrational is when you're nervous the entire Shabbos thinking that maybe you're $20 million richer and you can't wait till Matzei Shabbos to find out if your numbers... Now, if you look at the statistics which are written on the back of the tickets, generally the chances of winning... So the chances of you winning are so absolutely remote to the point beyond absurdity. Although every time, there are people that win. But it's much more likely that as you're sitting there looking at your ticket, it's much more likely that the building will collapse and you'll win, statistically. And yet, the way the mind works, or the heart takes control of the mind in such a way where you become incapable of rational reasoning. And you begin to think, well, you know, I'd like to buy mom and dad a condominium in Florida, you know, so nice. And I like to go and treat the gang, like I'll treat the whole class, we'll go to Yerushalayim, to the Ramada Inn for a week or something, you know, like, get myself a season's ticket by the behind the Yankee dugout, sit there with George. These are negiyas. And negiyah means that your mind is taken away from you and placed in control of a heart that wants something. So to the point, you know, people will continue to smoke packs of cigarettes even though they know that they're going to die. So you know what they'll say? They'll die sooner. So what do they say? I know Chaim Yankel Schwartzbaum. He smoked seven packs a day and he lived to 95. Yes, George Burns smoked a cigar. They have the mind. Think of it for a second. Every statistic, every ounce of scientific research has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that cigarettes will, in all likelihood, shorten your life. But Chaim Yankel's 95 and he smokes. It's just a crazy thing. Now, why do you come up with? You're not a dumb person. Why are you saying something so stupid? The answer is because you want it to be that way. Because you like cigarettes. So Mimele, you make up all kinds of crazy things to accommodate your ruts and your will. Now, Avraham Avinu, we have to move very quickly. Avraham Avinu has a very strong rutsin for something in this area. What rutsin does Avraham Avinu have? Avraham Yosef, you have your name is Avraham, no? What was the desire of Avraham? Wrong. He had to strengthen himself to do that, but what was his greater and deeper desire? Not to kill his son, very much. No, it's his son. That's a pretty strong negiah, right? And he, the negiah, I mean, he, as binches yechidcha shahavta, his son Yitzchak, who he, his whole life was Yitzchak, he had as an old man, where everything, all the future was riding upon Yitzchak. The love of a father for a son. And because of that, it would have been very easy. It would have been very easy for Avraham Avinu to fall into self-deception. What would have been the self-deception that he could have fallen into over here? What would have been the self-deception? David. I'll keep on asking. It's Chaval, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. This is not going to be in the daily news. You understand? You're wasting your time. What's the self-deception?
That Hashem said go up, so it could have meant that he wanted him to bring Yitzchak up.
Sure.
Help him sacrifice.
Sure. He could have started to say, well, after all, you know, what did Hashem actually tell him? Hashem didn't tell me to kill him. He didn't actually say to kill him. He didn't say to sacrifice him. He said, Halayalola. To bring him up. So it could have been for this or for that, you know, to bring him up and to wait for instructions and maybe to bring a behemoth and so on. Now that decision of Avraham Avinu that he could have opted for, there was the risk that he knew of, that perhaps he was deceiving himself. Now Avraham Avinu did not trust himself, even though he did not receive clear instructions from Hashem. He did not trust himself at this moment of his life. Why? Because he knew how badly he wanted to save his son's life. Correct? He knew how badly he wanted his son to be alive. Now he heard two things from Hashem. One thing was that you're going to build a nation from Yitzchak. The other is that you have to take him up from Ola. But it's not clear. He says, what should I do? He tells Yitzchak, I have to kill you. But he tells Yitzchak, clear. Yitzchak's fine. Okay, I'm ready. Jews have done that before. They'll do it again. But unfortunately. But Avraham Avinu is in this horrible state of uncertainty. Not only that, but he knows that he might be fooling himself. He knows he might be fooling himself. And in addition to all of this, let's go beyond this. There are two reasons why he was thinking that perhaps he might be deceiving himself. There are two reasons. One is, Hashem told me that I'm going to build a nation from Yitzchak. And two is, that God hates murder. No? Let's not forget about that. That we're not allowed to kill. That's one of the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. We're not allowed to kill. So, There are two very powerful reasons why not to kill. Why to interpret those words of Hashem that were unclear, that Hashem must have meant for me to just take him up and to wait or whatever. There are two powerful reasons. The promise of Yitzchak's future and of the Jewish people, and the horror of murder, which is unethical, which is against God's will. So Avraham Avinu is actually searching for what we could call objective truth. He's searching, I want to know, what is God's will? That I kill my son, or that I not kill him? What does Hashem want of me? So he could want me to kill him, or he might want me not to. But when he thought of the possibility of Hashem might want me not to, he didn't trust himself. Because he thought that the reason that he thinks that maybe Hashem meant not to is why? Because of his own personal desire to save his son, because of his own personal love. So he was afraid to succumb to his own feelings of love. His decision was to do what God wants, not what he wants. To try to lift himself up to do what God wants, not to do what he wants. This is serving Hashem from a state of doubt. In a state of doubt. And that's what he explains. Look at the bottom line. Ki be'emes meis Hashem haya shlo yishchato. Really, Hashem told him not to. In the end, he didn't kill him. When he saw in Hayarak Lamara in Avram, was only never Hashem never intended for him to kill him. Vizesh Omar bit filoso al stom vanochi offer favor. So let's understand. By the way, this is the opposite of the Rambam's view of the Akedah. The Rambam's view of the Akedah is that Avram Avinu received an absolute clear prophecy and he trusted his prophecy 1,000,000%. And had he not been 100% certain in his prophecy, he would not have killed Yitzchak. According to the Rambam, Avraham Avinu was absolutely certain and trusted that his nevuah meant to kill Yitzchak. And according to the Rambam, therefore, the nisayon of the Akedah is whether or not Avraham Avinu would believe in his nevuah completely. And he passed it. He trusted nevuah. And all of us, his children, are commanded to believe the Nevi'im.
You can't trust him,
right? So I don't want to go into the Ram right now, but you should know what the Ishmael is saying is the opposite of the Ram. The Rambam is saying that he received a clear nevuah, and the issue was, do I follow this nevuah and have complete confidence in my nevuah, or do I worry that my nevuah is not really a nevuah? The Ishbit says the opposite. The point of the test of the Akedah, according to the Ishbit, was Davke in his state of uncertainty, and not to demand the certainty, and not to escape. You see, Avraham Avinu had every reason to escape to escape from that uncertainty, and to enter into the certainty of, oh, of course Hashem couldn't possibly mean for me to do this. Just like the guy eating the steak. Nobody likes this. You don't want to live with that doubt. So you could escape from that doubt. You just make up your mind, oh, it's okay. Everything's okay. So that's, he explains now over here, v'zeh sha'amar b'tfiloso. In other words, the test of every person, this is what the Koshas has said before, the test of every one of us is to serve Hashem despite the fact that things are not clear to us. Despite the fact that for us, even though we received the Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat Peh, we never heard Hashem actually tell us anything. And we have a million questions about the Holocaust, about this, about that. We live, mamish, in a state of ambiguity. We live in a state of uncertainty. And we have and you can find a million negias. You see, you try to sit back and think, well, I don't know, should I, let's say you meet some very attractive young lady, and you were just thinking about being a very religious Jew. And you meet this very attractive young lady who's interested in you. It's amazing how all of a sudden at that moment all your theological considerations crumble. Yeah, we'll start tomorrow. Why is that? It's very simple. You have a certain ratzon, and your ratzon is a very natural physical interest in this young lady. On the other hand, you've been philosophically speculating possibility of being a God-fearing Jew. It's got to lose. It doesn't have to, but it will most likely lose. Why? Because you are in an uncertain state, because God actually never told me that He's there. And I never heard God tell me to be religious, and I never heard God give me the Torah. I may say to my grandfather, but I never spoke to him. But this girl's talking to me. So the rationalization is very, very obvious. The rationalization is, I want this with my heart. This I don't particularly want, I'm just considering and thinking and maybe I should. So what is God's will? God's will is that I be a natural, healthy young man, and that I become more religious some later point in life, perhaps. That's God's will. And we all live in that uncertainty zone. Now here we're not going to have time to finish. Let me just tell you what he's saying here. He's saying an amazing thing. You know, Avraham Avinu was davening that the people of Sodom should be spared, right? That Sodom shouldn't be destroyed because maybe there's some good people there, maybe some tzaddikim. You all know that. And at that time of his life, he said to Hashem, "Vanochi ofer ve'efer." What does it mean, "Vanochi ofer ve'efer"? I am dust and ashes. What's the difference between dust and ashes? Dust is something that it hasn't been anything until now, but something could grow from dust. Dust means dirt, right? Dirt,
yeah,
soil. So something could grow from it. Afer means that there might have been something once before, but it's destroyed. Afer means there was nothing before, but it could be. Afer means there was something, but it can no longer be. That's the difference between dust and ashes, right? So Avraham Avinu calls himself dust and ashes. So the explanation of the Rebbe is, the Ishbit says, very, very remarkable. Avraham Avinu was saying, you know, Hashem, I'm stuck, I'm caught between dust and ashes. Because if you don't want me to kill my son, if that's not what you really want from me, if that's not your will, and I kill him, then what? You know what I am? I murdered my son. I'm a murderer. Not just I'm a murderer. I'm a murderer of my only child. I've destroyed everything. Everything that could have been has been transformed into ashes. Destroyed. On the other hand, On the other hand, if you do want me to do this, then this is the soil from which I can grow into a great person, right? It's the soil in which the future can become. So Avraham Avinu's uncertainty is expressed in that in remarkable term. Hashem, I am dust and ashes. I don't know. But I'm not going to trust my own personal negiyas, and I'm going to take the chance that comes from trying to believe in you, trying to objectively know what you want of me, and not trusting my own personal needs and desires. I'm going to take the chance and kill my son. Vanochi Ofravev, and God help me, because if I'm wrong, God help me, and I killed my son, and I destroyed with my own hands all my hopes. And the same thing when he was diving for the people of stone. Because if I'm wrong, if I'm right, and I'm a great person, and I save the city of people, right? Millions of people. But if I'm wrong, then what? Huh? Then if I'm wrong, then I'm the one that is trying to preserve a place of people who are going to bring down the whole world into destruction. If I'm wrong. So when he was davening, see, he davened for the people of Stone, he says, Anochi Ofer Veif. I think what the Ishbitz is saying is a message for all of us in a very, very strong way. Not to become depressed as a result of our uncertainties and the fact that things are not clear to us. And the only way to be a good Jew is by having the simple emunah that we spoke about before, in the halacha, in the Devar Hashem, in the Rotznav Hashem, and to be always careful when we see that our own negiyas, our own personal desires, might be interfering with the will of Hashem. And to know that that is the greatest test of every Jew. And that it's because Avraham Avinu went through this test in that state of uncertainty, it's because of that that every single one of us has the ability to keep mitzvahs, to stay away from avers, even though we never heard Hashem, even though it's not clear to us. But it's possible for us to be good Jews, to strengthen our emunah, to observe mitzvahs, in this darkness of uncertainty. Because Avraham Avinu once did it. And we could do it also. And Avraham Avinu was in the state of Ayar Zalmachim Yerachuk, where he saw Hashem from a terrible distance, and we too feel that way. But he did what was right. Even though he was terrified, even though he was frightened, even though the Satan came to him in a million ways, as you know from Chazal, you heard, he said, I'm not going to trust my desire, I will trust the will of God. And hope for the best. That's what Avraham Avinu said. And because of that, we could do it too. Well, okay, good job.